I see, I need your prayers in lots of ways. We all need prayers. Matter of fact, there's one common denominator that we all have here this morning. We all need our support. We all need prayers. And Brother Walter picked these hymns, and most of them have been about praying. And the last one we sang, Near the Cross. See, that's another common denominator that we have. We all need Jesus. And we are here to worship Him this day. One of the goals, another common denominator about being a Christian is, don't we want to grow each day the Lord gives us to be more and more like Jesus? With His strength, that can happen. You know, one of the admonitions the Lord gave us in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, was to seek first the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to do in our lives. Trust Him and reach out to Him. And there's another common denominator there, and I'll quit using that term in just a moment. But it applies to all of us. We are supposed to be seeking. In our message in Mother's Day last Sunday, wasn't the mother who had such a great need with her daughter that was possessed, wasn't she seeking after the Lord? See, she was active. She wasn't just sitting back and hiding and being pitiful over her problem. She was seeking after Jesus. Folks, we need to be seeking after the Lord actively each day the Lord gives us. And I pray that you came here this morning seeking to learn and know more about the Lord. Because He gave us this day, He gave you the cognition to be here, to understand His Word. And we need to be more like Jesus. And I pray that He will help us. In trying to bring this message, and this is the last time I use this, I think. I don't know, it may just roll off. But another common denominator. We all need God's mercy. We need the Lord's mercy. Lamentations 3:22-23 tells us, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. One of my favorite passages from the Bible. Have you ever thought about it, folks? I don't know what occurred in your life yesterday. Maybe you didn't live up to that Christian moniker that we're supposed to be carrying. Maybe the mantle of being like Christ wasn't covering you yesterday, and you just had a plain bad day. And sometimes our bad days, our shame, keeps us from coming to God in prayer as it should. You see, we need God's mercies. And they're new every day. So thank God for that. Thank God that you can come before Him in His house of prayer this day, knowing that He is merciful. Because He is. It's a promise from His Word. Now, I will say that if for some reason you're having a moment of lack of clarity, if for some reason you think that you don't need God's mercies, well, you're sadly mistaken. 1 John tells us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, and He cleanses from all unrighteousness. You see, folks, there should not be a buffer there. Because God looks on the heart. He knows your heart. He knows everything that's occurring in your life. And He knows that you are here this day. So, folks, if you have things in your heart that you need to go to the Lord in prayer over, pray constantly throughout this message. And be thankful for the Lord's mercies. You know, to just reinforce what we just read in John. Romans tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And folks, as sinners, I guess this is another common denominator. We're all sinners, and as sinners, what do we deserve? We deserve God's judgment. But instead, we have God's mercies. Praise God for His love for His people and for His mercies. Now, folks, as I say these things, I want to turn to God's Word because we can find so many examples. We said earlier that isn't Christ our example? Don't we want to grow to be like the Lord Jesus? Isn't that what He places upon us, to be His servants, to be like Him? Well, let's turn to a few examples where we can see God's mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ on sinners. Matthew chapter 9. And one read verses 9 through 13. These are pretty much self-explanatory. And folks, you know, sometimes I like to read the passage and then back up and re-examine a few of the sentences in it. I may do that, but this is not our main passage. We'll be moving on. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" And folks, I guess I would just interject. Thank the Lord for his grace that he has compassion on sinners. Where would we be without the Lord's compassion? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Folks, you know, this could be a message right here. If I was a little more capable, I think I could expound on this, and I would bring this into a three-part message. But we're going to move on. But I just want to say, this is very indicative of the attitude of the heart inside the Pharisees. They had a very condemning attitude. They considered themselves so pious and righteous that they walked on a higher plane than everybody else. They were basically two categories in their mind. They were themselves who were righteous and everybody else who were sinners. And they were critical of everybody else, not recognizing that they even themselves had sins. Yes, they did their best to keep the law, but God looks on the heart, and he knows what's in the heart. And they deceived themselves because they were sinners too. They were supposed to be the leaders of the Jewish society there, recognized the society at the moment. It was under Roman occupation. The Pharisees had constructed for themselves, along with the Sadducees and the lawyers and the scribes, a pretty sweet deal with the Roman authorities. They were allowed to pretty much take control of the Jewish society, as long as they kept control. They were allowed to be in power, and they profited from it. They were all fairly wealthy because of the positions that they held, and they were held in high esteem. And that was more important to them than the Word of God. So out of just perfunctory adherence to God's law, they tried to appear more pious and righteous than everybody else. But Jesus excoriated the Pharisees throughout his entire ministry. And folks, the outside looked righteous, but God looks on the heart. And that's the reason Jesus responded the way he did. Yes, they could go give sacrifices to keep the law. But Jesus said, "I require mercy. I require mercy. I require mercy. Not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's me and you folks. To repentance. You know, we try our best to live the lives that we can, but we all fall short. Each and every morning the Lord gives us, we need to be thankful that his mercies are new. Now I want to move on as we look at this aspect of mercy as is found in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." See, again, it's looking on the heart and the spirit within us. You think about for just a minute comparing that to the Pharisees. It's taking away the outward abilities that wealth may provide to the Pharisees and that status provided to the Pharisees to try to live an outwardly very pious life and looking down at other people that couldn't. Blessed are the merciful. You see, it comes from within. The Spirit of God is within us, folks. It's not always our outward abilities that help us to be better Christians, that can parade around being proud of ourselves. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Doesn't that give us hope that we can find mercy too when we go to God in prayer? Isn't that what we saw last Sunday? with a Canaanite woman. You know, in Canaan, up in Tyre and Sidon, that's basically up in modern-day Lebanon. At that time, there were no Muslims. Islam hadn't come into being yet, but there were a lot of Greek, a lot of pagan influences. That's who that woman was that came to Jesus. But she came. She sought the Lord. And she found mercy and grace in the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ, who healed her daughter of being demon-possessed. Folks, we can find mercy too. No matter where we are in our lives, no matter what our needs, our spiritual, our emotional, our physical needs, but we have to go seeking the Lord. You know, I believe that we can loosely, and just in a very, very small way, define what a scriptural definition of mercy is. Well, number one, we sang at the cross. Isn't the cross mercy for us? But another definition can apply to our lives, what we can do as Christians. I believe you can say that when you see someone in need and feel compassion for them, you do what you can to meet that need. That's an everyday living definition of mercy. You see the need. You feel compassion for a person that's in need, and you do what you can to meet that need. Not expecting anything in return. If you're expecting something in return, that's not mercy, is it? Let's look at a couple examples of what I mean. Maybe exemplify this a little bit better. And the following are examples that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. Matthew, again, chapter 9. And you'll notice that what I'm about to read to you is from not following in the same chapter 9 when Jesus told this to the Pharisees. So just a little bit further over in this chapter, it says, Jesus then went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. You see, he saw. And folks, we need to be able to see the needs of people too. Jesus saw, and he was moved with compassion. He felt. And then over in chapter 14, verse 14, and Jesus, and when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. You see, he saw, he felt, and he did. He did by healing. The definition of mercy put into action. And folks, we have this ability too. When the Lord leads us, when we have the right heart within us. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 34, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Another example of how we can use the talents the Lord gives us, he was teaching. It wasn't just his miraculous healing, he was teaching too. But he saw a need, and he filled that need. He wasn't getting anything back. He did this out of love and compassion. Again, underpinning the definition of mercy in action. And then the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. And when the Lord saw her. Now, folks, in this encounter, the Lord is traveling. And he comes across, in layman's term, a funeral procession. And he saw the grieving mother. He felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin. And folks, when Jesus touched that coffin, he raised her son. God's mercy. God's miraculous power. God's grace. Can we all say, how great is our God? His mercies are new every day. They're on us here this morning. His mercies are new every day. Jesus did this out of the mercy, compassion in his heart. And folks, you know, when we get down and we start looking at our lives, how merciful has God been to us? Hasn't he blessed us beyond our ability to count? Some of us are still young. Some of us are old. Doesn't matter. We can't count all the blessings the Lord showered upon us. Not because we are worthy, It's because of God's mercy. We all need to recognize how merciful the Lord has been to us. But folks, this is one more common denominator. God's mercy is extended to those, number one, that don't deserve it, and that includes of all of us. But if you really want to be the recipient of God's mercy, we need to do what we said early on. We need to be seeking the Lord. We're here seeking the Lord today, aren't we? The Lord said, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Do you have a need on your heart that is so great that you're praying for God's mercy? Don't stop knocking and don't stop seeking. Continue on. Continue on. Because sometimes, folks, the healing process can be very long and slow. Sometimes whatever ordeal we may be in where we need God's grace, it may be for something that we're praying about. But our ordeal may be a method of reaching somebody else who's watching us, who can be the recipient of God's mercy by our testimony and our faith of never stopping, of never giving up, of constantly seeking the Lord in prayer. Folks, other people are always watching us. Look at the people that saw Jesus. And we need to recognize the world sees us too. And the world is quick to criticize, just like the Pharisees were. You know, if we walk down this street out here on South Pasaleon with written on our back, I believe in Jesus, there may be some people that look at us and sneer but don't say a word. There may be people that say a lot of bad things. We don't have to do that. Actions speak louder than words. But what I am trying to tell you is, there are people that look to us and find comfort and find an example of a living testimony of faith, but there are those that are going to criticize us. You can never be good enough. We'll always be hypocrites in their eyes. That's the world we live in today. Most of the world has no need for Christianity in their mind, but folks, they need it very badly. And see, then that falls back upon us again as the stewards that the Lord has entrusted with His Word. We need to follow His example. We need to be praying for lost people. We need to be praying for sinners that the world would cast to the side. We need to have compassion and mercy and pray for those. You see, right now, at the dividing point of where we are going to go, are we going to be like the Pharisees or are we going to be like Jesus? Now let's go to our next passage, and this is where we'll try to finish up. And to me, this is such a sweet example that we find in God's Word with His mercy and His grace. And it gives us a clear direction of how we should try to follow the Lord and the example that He's setting and giving to us when we look at the topic of mercy. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Starting in verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, that being Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, folks, let's stop right there for just a moment. It'll tell us a little bit more. But this woman heard that Jesus was at the house of the Pharisee. You see, Jesus' fame had spread throughout the region for the outstanding, just supernatural miracles that He had done in healing. And the examples of the mercy that He had given to other people. This woman heard, and she was a sinner. The Bible is clear to say that. Then does it go into exact detail, but I will tell you this, that life on women at that time could be very difficult. If she didn't have a husband and a way to really make ends meet and to support herself, sometimes they were forced into ways of living that were probably not what they had wanted to do. But they were defined as sinners. This woman heard that Jesus was in the house. And she went. You see, we're back to that seeking again. Seek first the kingdom of God. She went. Now let's continue on. She brought with her an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She brought this and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, folks, can you put yourself in that woman's place? She's weeping. She's crying. She's worshiping at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see, she knew who he was. The Lord placed that in her heart. And we sing that song, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?" You see, her shame wasn't an unsurmountable hurdle to keep her from God. She knew that he had compassion and mercy. She had heard the stories. She had heard the people healed. Perhaps she knew people that had been healed. And she went to him. She's on her knees. You know, she could have been crying because she's in the presence of God. I think our tears would be flowing if I was in his physical presence right in front of him. As I think about the degrading lifestyle I've lived in times past, when I think about how unworthy I am of his compassion and his mercy, yes, folks, I think my tears would be flowing too. Perhaps yours would. And she's weeping, and washing his feet with her very tears, and wiping the dust off with her hair. You talk about humility, but you talk about love. She loved the Lord, and she brought fragrant oil, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil out of adoration for Jesus Christ. Now when the Pharisee, verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of this and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And that's all the Pharisee saw. A sinner. He didn't see a woman in need. He didn't see a woman pouring out her heart at the Savior of all of God's children, the Lord Jesus Christ. No. He still had that hard heart, that condemning heart. All he wanted to say is she's a sinner. In other words, he's touching him. I wouldn't let her touch me. Folks, do you know anybody? Have perhaps you ever been that way? Where you don't want to be touched by somebody because you cast them as a sinner? You know, we can all think of just awful lifestyles that some people live. Terrible lifestyles. And we don't have to support, we don't have to embrace, we don't have to condone those lifestyles. We should never compromise God's word. But folks, we should have compassion. And we should pray for those people that don't know the Lord. That's what this Pharisee should have been doing. He should have been praying for her. He recognized she was a sinner. Don't all sinners need God's prayers? Isn't that what's incumbent upon us, to be praying for other people? Isn't that what mercy is, to pray for those in need? But he had no mercy in his heart. All he could do was condemn her. Folks, who do you want to be like? Let me ask it another way. What example should God's children follow? The Pharisee, or the example that the Lord is setting here? Now, I said a moment ago, and you know this as well as I say it, God looks on the heart. Folks, there is no thought that you've ever had that the Lord isn't aware of. Every thought, that should be a very sobering and fearful thing to consider. God knows you, and he knows what's in your heart. You may have had a bad day yesterday. You may have in your heart and in your mind, I don't know, you may have been like this Pharisee. But you may have been like this woman, wanting to come to him for mercy. There's two examples we need to take from this if we're going to live like the children that God intends us to live like. We need to take the example from this woman that we can go to the Lord and confess our sins. And before the mercy seat, that throne of grace, we can find compassion in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she didn't let her shame, her status in life, she didn't let what other people said about her stop her. She sought the Lord, and she went to Him. That's the example we need to take from that woman. Now let's look at the example that Jesus gives us. And Jesus answered and said to him, this being the Pharisee. Now see, the Pharisee said this within his heart, but Jesus knew it. And folks, that applies again to me and you as I just said it. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. What's on your heart today? I can tell you, we all need God's forgiveness. We all need God's mercy. So I pray that you are coming to Him this day, asking for the Lord to guide and direct your life. And He says to this Pharisee, Simon, I have something to say to you. Now you think for just a moment, what if you had a bad day yesterday or earlier in the week? And you were not living the way you should have been. Or even worse, in your heart, you were really criticizing and coming down hard on somebody. Maybe your frustrations had just overcome you and you had it. What if at that moment, the Lord said to you, I have something to say to you. Would you be fearful? Would you be trembling? You see, sometimes like the Pharisees, we get all caught up in ourselves and think that we're better than another person in some category or whatever it may be. Folks, we always need to go through this life humbly, recognizing except for God's grace, there go I. Being thankful for God and asking for His directions in everything we do. The Pharisees should have recognized this woman needed compassion and prayer, but he didn't. So Jesus is addressing him. Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. Well, he's about to learn a good lesson. Jesus is about to tell him. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, folks, that's quite a contrast right there. 10 times the debt one of these servants had than the other. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Which of these servants, the one that owed the master a little, or the one that owed a great deal? You know, see, it really didn't matter. You stop for just a minute and think. It might have been 50 denarii wasn't that much money. It was less than the other one. But for that servant, it was more than he could pay. He needed grace. He needed compassion. The other one owed 10 times as much, and he couldn't pay it. But they still needed the same amount of grace and mercy, didn't they? Our sins, be them little, be they big, we're all sinners, and we need God's grace. So he asked him, though, tell me, Simon, tell me, therefore, which of them love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Now, folks, only you can answer. And you can't answer completely. I can pretty assuredly say that I think the Lord has, I have more sins than anybody sitting here in this congregation. He has given me so much. Most of you I look as saints. I don't think he had as much to forgive you. But that mercy and grace is just as dear to you as it is to me. And it's just as cleansing from his all-powerful blood to wash us clean. We all need God's mercy. But the one who has been forgiven the most should be the most humble. Should turn to the Lord and recognize how great is my debt. but I'm washed clean in that precious blood. I'm washed clean. Jesus tells Simon, you have rightly judged. You see, think back. Jesus said in Matthew, I've come to call the sinners and the sick, not the whole. The Pharisees knew the law. They knew how to live rightly. According to the law, they were not as great a sinners as those who didn't live by the law. But they still needed forgiveness too. He needed forgiveness, but he was too hardened and stubborn to recognize it. Jesus answered, Simon, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. See, folks, it was customary. Stop right there and think for the moment. What was the custom of the day? Somebody who was in a higher position, who was more wealthy, who invited guests into their house, and the Pharisees fell into this category. It was customary to have water to wash the traveler's feet, to sit them at a prominent place at the table in recognition that they had been invited. This Pharisee had not really done this. Because he looked at this teacher, the Pharisees did, they looked at Jesus with contempt. Most of the times when they had encounters, they were trying to ensnare him and entrap him and try to make him stumble over the law, which never happened. But that was their main goal, inviting him in. So he didn't extend the customary practices to Jesus in honoring him the way that he should. And he tells him here, I entered your house. You had no water for my feet. But this woman, who he's already said is a sinner, she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, which again was another custom. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Doesn't the Word of God tell us that love covers a multitude of sins? You see, she loved the Lord. And that love for her, for the Lord, overcame her shame, her regret, her sins. She sought the Lord. And folks, again, I'm just reinforcing an example that we need to take from her. We need to be seeking the Lord because just like her, we need the Lord's mercy. We need His grace each and every day. And He freely forgave. And He told him, to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You would have thought that that would have had an impact on that Pharisee. Now, perhaps it did. I can't say. Doesn't name who this Pharisee is. But it should definitely have an impact on us. You see, folks, when we start looking at ourselves the way that we should, we're not better than others. If God has shed His amazing grace on us and given us the gift of faith, we are His child. It is God who called us out of darkness. We're not worthy of His mercy and His grace. But God knows our frailties. He knows that we're weak. And just like with this woman, love is found at the feet of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Well, I'll tell you, it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer. And he is able to forgive all of our sins. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, folks, we're back to faith again. Where did our faith come from? It's a gift from God. It's a gift from the Lord. Another example of His mercy. This woman had not lived a perfect life. Like all of us, she had fallen short. By the law, she was a sinner. As we begin to close here, the example. Who are you going to pattern your life after? The Pharisees showed no mercy, only saw the sinner. Now put yourself in that seat. How do you want the Lord to look at you? As the sinner? Or as the wayward son or daughter who's reaching out to him with seeking after him, crying out for mercy with a repentant heart? Jesus had mercy and he forgave. When we approach the Lord with repentant heart, he will forgive us too. We talk about grace, we talk about faith, and we talk about mercy. You know, folks, sometimes those, I'll call them tenets, escape us, but as primitive Baptists, they never should. We really have, our denomination is built about this defining principle of God's grace, his mercy, that we don't deserve. And it is only by God's grace that we are the recipients of mercy. It is only by his grace that we have the gift of faith in our hearts. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Again, this is, should be a marker verse in your Bible. Most of you should have memorized this, and I think many of you have. But it's fundamental to the primitive Baptist, I'll call it doctrines, or supporting doctrine. It's God's Word, which is much more important than any doctrine of any church. But it's what we cling and hold dear to, because it gives poor sinners like us hope. And he, and you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And folks, that belongs to every one of us. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. Just like that woman. In which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others, just as that woman. We were too. But God, who is rich, and here's our word again, mercy. Not because you've done anything to warrant or justify or to earn it, but because of his great mercies that are new each and every day, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And folks, we've been over this many times. God knew us before the foundation of the world. And when he knew you before you were ever born, he prepared good works for you to do. And we need to try to pattern our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ to carry out those good works. A couple of those good works, one of them is praying. And we've talked about this, praying for others. The other good work is praising God. Praising God for the mercy that is new each and every day that he gives us life. Being thankful for that mercy and recognizing we were sinners and we are sinners too. And we need his grace and mercy. But folks, another good work that he created us to do is to show mercy and have compassion, to put it into action in our lives with other people. That includes seeing a need, having compassion for that person's need, doing what we can to fill that need. We can all pray for those who need the Lord. We can pray for others. Folks, the Lord has been so merciful to us. How can we not, in turn, share mercy and compassion with other people? Because, folks, at one point, we were just like that woman. I pray that we will remember the admonition that Jesus gave us in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We all need God's grace. We all have been the recipient of his mercy. So folks, pray for other people and share the good news of the gospel with those people. How can you be any more merciful with a person than to try to share with them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? May He add His blessings, is my prayer to these words.